Hey, welcome. It's great to have you here with us today. If we haven't met before, my name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here today. And I want to welcome you in this venue, in the West venue, over in the East venue, and those that are on our online stream right now. Great to have you as well with us today. If you haven't been here before, or maybe you missed last week, we started, as of last week, a new series. We're calling it Relationships 101. And we're going to look at see what God talks about. Sometimes we're going to talk about marriage, sometimes maybe in dating, sometimes maybe in divorce, but we want to try to help us in this area. And the reason why is this, is that because as we talked last week, we said, in February, there's this crazy little holiday called Valentine's Day. And good news, guys, it's passed. Okay, so that's, we made it. Okay, so anyway, but we have that. But then the other thing that, and we've also heard this before, is that half the marriage is in a divorce. But what we found out is that February is one of the biggest months for divorce. And so we thought, okay, let's take a time and kind of talk about relationships in the month of February. And so last week we talked more about marriage. Today we're going to talk about dating relationships. But I'm going to tell you some of the things that we're talking about will apply to any relationship, including marriage. But some of you right now, when you heard me say the title is dating relationships, some of you that are married are going, oh, great, I should have slept in today. I mean, come on. I mean, what in the world? I'm married. I don't need this stuff. I'm going to tell you, there's something in here for you as well. But on the other extreme, some of you are single and you're not dating. And you're like, oh, this blows. I don't want to hear about dating. I'm not dating anybody. This is no fun. I mean, I just don't want to be here. Can I encourage you? If you are single and you are not dating, can I encourage you to go ahead and take notes, right? Because at some point, if you do end up dating somebody, you can pull those notes out and you'll have a reminder of what we've talked about. Because this is something that God's word is very clear about this. And today I want to start off with a verse that we talked about last week. It's in Psalm 144:7. It says this, and this is a prayer. Reach down from heaven and rescue me. It's talking to God. God, reach down from heaven and rescue me. Deliver me from deep waters. This is a prayer. Basically, in other words, what they're saying is, help! I mean, that's what they're doing. And so often in our relationships, we do the same thing. We're like, God, help my spouse, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, help God. I mean, we're in uncharted waters. This is hard. We don't know what to, I don't know what to do. And we cry out to God. You may not even have a relationship with God, but yet when you get in a struggle, you feel like you're underwater and in a relationship of some kind, you just simply go, help, God, help. And you know what? God always hears that kind of prayer. God always hears those things. Now, let me tell you what in Scripture, nowhere in Scripture is the word dating, but I'm going to tell you, God has a lot of words, a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about looking for your future husband, your future wife. God actually talks a lot about that. In fact, let me give you something. If you are dating or hope to date, if you're married, don't you dare. But if you're single, if you're dating or hope to date, let me give you something for this. This is God's minimum. God's minimum standards for the person that you date is this. Only date if there is a match of faith. Only date if there is a match of faith. In other words, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you're going towards God, you're growing in your relationship with God, and the person you are dating is not, you guys at some point, it doesn't seem like a big deal here, but as you continue to grow, you're growing away from each other. There's a struggle there. There's a problem there. God is saying, hey, at the very minimum, if you're going to date, the very minimum is that they have to be, you guys got to be the same. You got to be the same faith, which means you're both followers of Jesus Christ or you're both not a follower of Jesus Christ. Either way, you're going the same direction. Why does God say that? Because God's going, I don't want either one of you to be hurt. Because if one's going this way and one's going that way, this thing is going to be very difficult to manage, because you're going different directions. You have different values. And all of a sudden, it may not seem that big when you're dating, but all of a sudden when you get married, my husband or my wife, they don't want to go to church. They don't want to raise our kids in the church. All of a sudden it becomes an issue. As a pastor for many years, what's happened is this. Over time, I have seen it all. And I have seen people going, oh, it's okay. I will get them saved. Usually, now no offense, ladies, but usually this is ladies. Ladies will see, she's a follower of Jesus Christ, and she sees this guy, and he's gorgeous. He's got this little smolder, right? I mean, he's just beautiful. The only problem is he's not a Christian. So you know what a lot of times what girls do, girls, this, I'm not sure it's not you, it's the other single girls around you, but here's what happens. You will do this thing called evangelistically dating, right? Oh, I just want him to get saved. I want him to know Jesus. Would you still want him to be saved if he was ugly, right? If he's ugly, do you really care if he comes to Jesus or not? The only reason, you got to be honest with yourself, the only reason you are wanting to try to get him saved because you're a Christian and you want to date him. You want to hopefully marry him because he's cute, he's buff, he's got the smolder thing. It's just amazing. I got to get him saved. And I'm going to tell you, probably 0.001% is actually what happens. Most of the time, 99.999%, instead of winning them into Christ, oftentimes they'll take you away from God. Because really, God isn't your first focus. You'd like to say it is, but all of a sudden, this guy has become your first focus. And all of a sudden, you're doing whatever you can to hold on, to keep them. And you're willing, listen, to compromise. Whew. Now I know it's not you, ladies. This is other single girls next to you, right? But this happens all the time. And usually, in my experience with people I've talked with, it's usually girls. Can I tell you, God's got something better for you. And God's got something better for the other person. Because God doesn't want you to go this direction because it'll hurt both of you. God wants you to have a match of faith to where you're both going this way with God or you're going this way against God. But either way, you're going the same direction. But somewhere along the line, we think, I'm going to get him saved. I'm going to get her saved. And the only reason you're doing that is because you want to date them and hopefully marry them. Woo, man, oh man. That wasn't even in the notes. Let's get in the notes now. Okay, here we go. Let me share a verse with you. In 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the love chapter. Not the love chapter, it's a love chapter, okay? Will you say that with me? The love chapter. Okay, very good. That's right. So 1 Corinthians 13, love chapter, verses 4 through 8. Let me read this. Here's what it says. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Say the last part with me. Love never fails. Love never fails. Can I tell you, let me talk to you if you're dating or you're single and you hope to be dating sometime. If you do not see what this verse just talked about, if that verse where it talks about all the things that love is, if you do not see these things in your dating relationship, can I tell you, you will never see it in your marriage. If the person you are dating, that guy, that girl, if you do not see the stuff that this verse just told us, all this stuff about love, if you do not see this in your relationship as you're dating, it will never suddenly just happen in your marriage. It will never happen in your marriage. See, we gotta realize that whatever starts out in our dating relationship just continues on into our marriage. And so today, I want to ask us, off of this verse that we just read, I want us to look at six different questions. Again, if you are dating, I'd hope that you take notes. You can use it on our app or the card in your program today, whichever you want to do. Take notes. If you're not dating, but you hope to someday date and get married, go ahead and take notes and file it away for when you do. If you are married, here's what I'm asking you. For those who are married, I want you, as we go through these six questions, I want you to look at these questions as a thermometer of how your marriage relationship is doing. And, by the way, those of us who are married, You can also take notes because some of you have students in their teens that are beginning to date, or you have young adults. Your students, your kids have grown up and they're young adults now, and they're looking to date and get married, and they're not here today. You can take notes for them. You can send them the link to this video this week to watch, because there's a little bit of everybody that's going to be in what we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to offend everybody. I'm just going to tell you right up front. I'm just going to offend everybody, okay? So here's the first question I want to give you, based off of what we just read. First question is this: is this relationship progressing too quickly? Is this relationship progressing too quickly? And to answer that question, I want us to look at three different ways to evaluate this. I want to look at three different ways to evaluate whether or not the relationship is being, if it's being patient. So letter A is this, is that love is patient relationally. Love is patient relationally. So let me give you an example. Let's say it's a first date, okay? You are meeting this guy or this girl. It's a first date for you guys. And you show up at the date, and you barely sat down. Let's say you're having coffee or you're at dinner somewhere at a restaurant. But you sit down at the table. And as soon as you sit down, you barely get out any other information. And when all of a sudden you ask this question: when do you want to get married and how many kids do you want? Can I tell you, that is not having the relationship be patient right there. You are just jumping right in. And if that guy or that girl that you're sitting with doesn't get up and run, they're a fool, right? Because if that were to happen to you, wouldn't that freak you out? First thing, when are you gonna get married? How many kids you want? Whoa, boy, look at the time. I gotta go, right? I mean, that's what they should do. But for some reason, we just want to put it out there because, time is important, so I just want to get right to it. Can I just tell you, if it's your first date, when you show up, when you first sit down, just take a deep breath and just ask what their name is. Huh? Just ask what their name is. Don't start talking about kids and marriage and all this other stuff. You're going to freak them out. We have to pause and see, is this relationship, is it going forward patiently, relationally? Let me give you the second one, B. B is this: love is patient emotionally. Love is patient emotionally. Now, Scripture tells this. It tells us this, that above all else, in Proverbs it says this, above all else, guard your heart. Does this person that you're, do they guard your heart? Do they take care of you? Are they the right person? Or when you tell them a secret, do they blab it to everybody else? Does this person guard your heart emotionally? Do you do the same for them? Let me give you letter C. Letter C is, love is patient physically. Ooh, now we're going to get into it. Love is patient physically. 1 Corinthians, let me give you a verse. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says this. Say the first two words with me. Run away from what? Sexual sin. No other sin, now listen to this. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin, not so much against the other person, it's a sin against your own body. It's interesting, Scripture does not say run away from sex. Scripture says run away from sexual sin. And the reason why is because God has created this amazing gift. We talked about this last week. This amazing gift. It's like a glue in marriage called sexual intimacy. And God has created it to be used within marriage, between one man and one woman in a covenant marriage relationship. Again, if you're here last week, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I want to repeat this. Because what happens is God has created it once we've come into a relationship and we've taken vows. We've made a covenant with one another. Look in Scripture, Old Testament or New Testament, covenants are a big thing with God. When we have a covenant with it, then God's going, man, I've got the best gift. Other people are giving you silverware and mugs. I'm giving you the best thing, sexual intimacy. And somewhere along the line, we think it's okay in dating. We think it's okay because we're going to get engaged, or we are engaged. But as we talked about last week, getting engaged, dating, or being engaged is not the same as marriage. God created it within marriage. And again, as I said last week, as a pastor, I've seen so many times where people have lived together and they're starting to have sexual intimacy because they're going to get engaged, but many times they break it off and they don't even get married. That is why God did not create sexual intimacy for if we're going to get married. God says it's when you get married. That is when I will give you this amazing, crazy gift to be able to use. But for some reason along the line, we think, oh, I know that it's not right for everybody else, but God knows our situation. Do you think God winks at your sin and lets you go? Oh, it's wrong, but it's okay for you guys to do it. No. God has it in his word for a purpose and for a reason, because in case you haven't figured out, God is the one who created life. And God knows how life is best lived. And he gave us a manual called the Bible that tells us, but so often we go, I know better than God. And God goes, hey, Gabriel, come over here. Look at that. They think they know better than me. Isn't that funny? Seriously? Do you really think that you know better than God? And some of you, again, are going, oh, man, horse out of the barn because I've already done this. Can I tell you again, as we said last week, if you've already done this, God still loves you. God still forgives you when you ask him for forgiveness. And what we do is we can't change the past, but we draw a line in the sand and say, from this day forward, from this day forward, I will do what God's called me to do. You see, think about this. When you're dating, there's kind of like a pecking order. There's like, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, when you first get dating, you know, like 1 is maybe like you hold hands. Maybe 2 is like, you know, you kiss, you know, and stuff like that. And then as you kind of progress, you go to like 3 and 4, right? And 10 up here is like sexual intimacy, right? And you start here, and when you do like 1 and 2, pretty soon after a while, you start progressing to maybe 3 and 4, right? And then what happens? Well, if you're a girl, right, at number 4, you want to probably try to go to like number 5, right? But when you're a guy, you want to go from like 4 to 12, right? I mean, that's usually what happens, right? And God's got a purpose, God's got a plan to help us. And he tells us in this verse we just read, run, Forrest, run away from sexual sin. Not sex, but sexual sin when it's outside of the covenant marriage relationship. Because this is not for you yet. Until you make this covenant with this other person, this is when this gift is used. This is God helping us, not being a killjoy. God knows the best way for dating and for marriage, and he's saying, this will hurt, this will not. This is what you need to do. And he's doing that because, you know what? He loves you. He loves you whether you're a follower of Christ or you're not a follower of Christ. He doesn't want you to be hurt. Now, if you're not a follower of Christ, he wants you to come into relationship with him. But he wants to make sure that both of you are having a relationship that's of a match. You're either both following or both not following. God loves each and every one of us, whether we know him or not. But somewhere along the line, oh my goodness, we get to the point to where we think, I can do whatever I want. It's my body. Who gave you that body? Did you create it? No. Did your mama and papa create it? No. God created it. God tells us in his word that he knits us together in our mother's womb. Did you know that you are knitted together? God created you the way you are. There's nobody else like you. Even if you got a twin, there's nobody 100% like you. God has created you within your mother's womb. He knew you before you were born. He loves you more than anything else. He's crazy about you. And he wants a relationship with you, or if you have a relationship, he wants to know you even more and to grow closer in that. That's the kind of love that God has. And that's just question one. Let's go to question two. Question two, is this person kind? Is this person kind? Let me give you a verse. Verse 4 says, love is kind. Now, Mark, I'm dating. How do I know? How can I tell if the person I'm dating is kind? How can I do that? Great question. Glad you asked. Here's how. You take them out to public. You take them out in the public. You go to a restaurant somewhere. And let's just say you're a guy, okay? You're a guy, and you're taking your girlfriend. It's kind of a new date thing. And you're going to coffee, or let's say you're at a restaurant. Let's say you're at a restaurant eating. And you order food, and when she orders her food, she orders a Diet Coke, but the waiter brings a regular Coke. And when she takes a drink and realizes it's regular Coke, she calls the waiter over, and she rips him a new one. And she is just yelling, and she's upset and angry and stuff. And can I tell you, if she is doing that to in front of everybody else to a waiter because he brought the wrong pop, guess what's going to happen if you marry her? Guess what's going to happen? Because whatever happens in marriage usually continues, or into dating, continues into marriage. If she's yelling at him and making a scene, do you think you're not going to be a target at some point? It will happen. Love is kind. When you take her out in public, I mean, when you go to the DMV, well, actually, no, that's okay. DMV, they need to be true. But other places, right? Other places, we got, is that person that you're dating, are they kind? For those who are married, ask yourself this question. Is your spouse kind? For those of you who are also married, you got to ask yourself, and if you're dating, you got to also ask yourself, am I kind? So it's not just asking, are they kind? You got to stop and look at yourself in dating or marriage. Am I kind too? See, it can be very easy to go, yeah, my spouse or my boyfriend or girlfriend, they're not kind. Well, you don't know. They're probably sitting right here, and they're looking at you too going, yeah, well, you aren't either. You got to stop and look at the other and yourself. Are they kind, and am I kind? In fact, let me give you something for your notes in this one. The way you live out your life. Listen, the way you live out your life when you're dating is amplified when you're married. If she's yelling at the waiter, it's going to be yelling at you, and it's going to be 10 times worse once you get married. You got to stop and look and reason and go, is this really the person I want to continue dating? Is this really the person that I possibly want to marry? Because honestly, dating kind of is why we do dating, is to try to get married. Is this really what I want to have in my dating and in my marriage relationship? And some of you may be going, but I've already given it like 6 months. We've already been dating for like a year. Well, I've given a lot of time. It's better to break it off now than to get married and have a divorce later. And the divorce not only affects you and them, but it affects any kids that you brought along. It is better to call it quits now before you even get married. Third question. Is this person a teammate? Is this person a teammate? Verse 5 says this. It says, love does not envy, does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not eagerly angered. Listen to this. Love keeps no, what? Say it with me. Record of wrongs. And that's true. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs, but we do. Right? And you know you do. Because when you are dating or when you are in marriage, oftentimes the other person will come up to you and say, you always do this. You always do that. You need to do this instead. And they use you. And all of a sudden, the fur starts to fly. And when the fur starts to fly, all of a sudden we're like, oh my goodness, you're going to tell me my wrongs? Let me bring out the wrongs that you have done that I've been recording. Let me tell you what you do. And all of a sudden, you're pointing fingers at each other. You do this, you do that, all this. You're always pointing fingers. And let me tell you, when you use the word you, that shows that you're in competition. You're fighting, you're competing against each other. But can I tell you, if you want to be teammates, you don't use the word you. You don't point fingers and say, you do this, you do that. Instead, use the word we. Because when you're on the same team, we say we. You know, this is the issue that we've been having. What if we did this instead? What if we worked on this? What if we, and just fill in the blank with whatever, but it's we. Now we're on the same page. We're working together. We are teammates, not competitors pointing fingers and saying, you. It's we. We're on the same team. Do we do that for those who are married? Do you use the word you or do you use the word we? Because I want to tell you, if you use the word you, in your marriage, you are competing against each other. And that is not God's heart for you and I. Question 4. Is this a person of integrity? Is this a person of integrity? Does this person have any sort of integrity at all? How do you know, Mark, if they have integrity? Well, here's a little simple test. If you're ever out somewhere with the person you're dating, and they buy something at a store with cash, and the clerk gives them back, let's say they're supposed to have $3, but accidentally they gave them $5 back. And the person you're dating doesn't say a thing about it. And then as you're walking out of the store, you say to your boyfriend or your girlfriend, they go, hey, the clerk gave you too much money. Oh, yeah, it's no big deal. It's just a couple bucks. Can I tell you that it actually is a big deal? Because if they do not have integrity on something as little as getting $2 back that they shouldn't have gotten, what else are they not going to have integrity on that's bigger? Is this the type of person that you want to really go forward with? I know it sounds petty, but when we see things like this in other people, we're going, if they're not trustworthy in this, how about bigger things? Could they possibly do something else? See, that's hard. Does the other person have integrity? But then again, you got to ask yourself, do I in this relationship, do I have integrity? See, every question we're asking about the other person, we got to ask about ourselves as well. Let me give you question 5. Question 5 says this. Is this person a quitter? Is this person a quitter? The person that I am dating, is this person a quitter? 1 Corinthians says this. It says this. Love always trusts, always hopes, always, say it with me, always what? Perseveres. Love always trusts, hopes, and always perseveres. Can I tell you that's exactly what God does? There are times, even when we have a relationship with God, there are times where we will go off tangent from God. We'll sin. We'll walk away from God. Can I tell you that God always perseveres with us? God doesn't go, well, good luck. You want to walk off? I'm going to walk off. I mean, God doesn't do that. God is there. When we walk off, when we sin, when we do something wrong, we do something stupid, God's still there. He still is there with you and I. He doesn't quit. He pursues us. He loves us. He wants a relationship with us, and he wants to bring that relationship back together and have it flourish in an amazing way. But God will never, ever quit on you. So bring this to your dating relationship. In dating, does the person, if you guys are starting to talk marriage, do they understand that if we get married, we don't quit on each other? If we get married, we work things out because we're not competitors, we're teammates, we're working together. It's we, not you and you, it's we. Do we realize that if we get married, we will not quit. We will not divorce. That is not an option for us. So many people go into marriage going, if it doesn't work, I can get out of it. If it doesn't work, I've been married 5 times. You know, what's the 6th one? Crying out loud. I mean, if it doesn't work. God's heart is that when we go into something, we go into it with everything. Does that mean you always love the other person? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But regardless, you are saying, I'm in it to win it. I'm in it to the end. Even though some things you do, some things I do irritate you, and some things you do irritate me, we're in it together. We are in this for 100% because we've made a commitment. We made a vow. We made a covenant before God that we will always be there. Can I encourage you on something? Let me talk to the married people. Married people, what if you today went home and you said to your spouse, honey, I just want to let you know, I'm in it to the end. I know that sometimes we struggle on things, we sometimes fight, we sometimes get angry or anything, but I just want to let you know, I'm in it. I'm in it for the long haul. And I want it to get better. But if you have any thoughts that maybe I'm thinking of leaving or quitting or divorcing, I just want to let you know I'm not. Do you know possibly what that would do for your spouse? Some of them who are thinking, are they going to leave? Are they tired of me? Or they don't? All of a sudden, it affirms them, lets them know, whew. And then hopefully, they would say something like that back to you. But even if they don't, what if you led in that way? That would be a gift that you'd be giving to your spouse. And then let me give you the last question. Is God the first love of my life? Is God the first love of my life? And only you can answer that question. A lot of times we will say yes, but it's not true. In fact, let me give you something. It says in 1 Corinthians, it says, love never fails. Some of you today, right now, you are here and you're saying, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus is like number one in my life. And I hope that's true. Because God always wants to be number one in our life. Let me give you a verse that Jesus is talking about in Matthew. Listen to what he says. Jesus says this, your Father in heaven knows all of your needs. But more than anything else, listen, put God's work first and do what he wants. Then the other things will be yours as well. This is one of those what I call if-then. God says, if you do this, then I will do this. God says, if you put me first, then I will give you these other things. But a lot of times, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're going, God is first, and all of a sudden we find that cute girl or that cute guy that we want to date and all of a sudden, and somehow, we don't know how it happens, but somehow God kind of slips down to second or third, and this person becomes up here at his number one. And can I tell you, God will never be number two or three or 10. God always is number one. He doesn't take a back seat. God always is number one. But if you put this new relationship, this guy, this girl above God, can I tell you that then God cannot do this verse he said. If you put God first, then I'll give you all these things. But when we put somebody above God, God's going, you just had my hands. Can't give you what you want. Can't do it. You see, God handles things a different way. He says, if I slip to second or third, sometimes you know what God will do? Listen. Sometimes God will remove a relationship from you and it will hurt you. But God does it because God knows that the best relationship is for him to be number one. And if you've got somebody else there, God may remove that relationship because he knows what is best for you and me. Some of you are now realizing why maybe a boyfriend or girlfriend walked off. Because God wasn't number one. God had slipped down to number five or four. And God says, if you put me first, then I give you all that. It's kind of like if you have a bad back and you go to a chiropractor, right? When everything's kind of out of alignment, it just hurts. But when they just like snap your back, poof, and everything comes, it's like, oh, that feels so much better. That's the way it is with God. God says, put me first, then these things will happen. But you got to put me first. Do you have God first? Is God in your life? Is he number one in your life? Or is he not? See, we don't know what true love really is. We don't know what true love really is until we experience God's unconditional and unending love for us. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced God's unconditional and unending love? If so, then you realize that God is always number one. But some of you today, you haven't experienced that. And can I tell you how you can experience that? By simply inviting him into your life. Yes, God wants you to have a good relationship with your husband, with your wife, with your boyfriend, with your girlfriend. But it all starts with that first relationship with him. Do you have that? Because today God is here waiting for you because he knew you're going to be here today. And he loves you and he's crazy about you. And he goes, I want you to have a good dating relationship. I want you to have a good marriage. But it all starts with a relationship with me, God. Let's pray. So, Father, as we wrap up our time together, God, you're an amazing God. We love you. I thank you, God, for your blessings. I thank you for all that you've done. I thank you for each person that's here today. And, Father, there are some here today that do not know you. They're here exploring the claims of Christ, here to see if Jesus is real, if Jesus, you can do anything to change our life and our heart. And so they're exploring. And Lord, then on the other end, there are people here that say that they're followers of Jesus Christ. But somewhere along the line, you fell from first place in their life to third or fourth. And some other relationships have taken first. God, if you're not first, you're not at all. And so, Lord, you call us to put you first, then these other things will happen. And so, Father, today, there are those that have had your relationship slip down from number one to number three. And there's others here who've never had a relationship, and both of them are bowing their hearts right now and saying, God, forgive me. I desperately, desperately, desperately need a relationship with you. And I need to make you number one. Because you, if you're not number one, nothing else is going to work. I need you in my life. And so, Father, today as they bow their heart, they ask for forgiveness. They accept Jesus, what you did when you died on the cross and rose again to pay the penalty for their sin. That now, Jesus, they can come into a relationship with you. And that relationship is number one in their life. And Lord, as they go forward with you as number one in their life, then now they're taking their orders from you to see how to do dating, how to do marriage the right way. Lord, I thank you for those that are making that decision today, that's coming into relationship, and we celebrate that. And I pray right now, Lord, and the sound of my voice, every marriage, every dating relationship, Lord, make it God-honoring. Lord, help them to hear your voice, to know what to do and what not to do according to your will, because you always know best. And we say thank you in your name.